All right, and once again, as previously stated, we are so happy to have Sister Janice, who's going to be giving her testimony devotion tonight. We're excited about her. We're so thankful for her, and I know that right now she has her hands full, and quite literally with some Jimenez children, I believe, her own grandkids, and she must be a proud grandma these days. And with that said, I'm going to turn it over to you now, Sister Janice.
Thank you, Brother Vic. And I want to give honor to Pastor and Sister Clark, and I want you to know that you have no idea how much your kindness and your gentleness has meant to me and to Truth Church. I miss you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. I have to tell you, I'm nervous. This is not my forte, and I hope that I'm able to articulate my thoughts enough to share what's on my mind. And there were two major thoughts that I wanted to put together. I couldn't seem to let loose of either one. So if you'll allow me, I'd like to talk about me. I'd like to be transparent. I know me best, and I know my life's journey best. And some of what I want to share was sparked by the words of Brother Stephen Mantooth. And some of what I want to share comes from a handful of my own personal experiences. First of all, I want to read from Isaiah 41, chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then I'd also like to read in Psalm chapter 40, verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. For if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And He has proven this to me time and time again. My grandma always testified. She was known for this statement, God is mindful. He cares about what we care about. He cares about who we are as a person and what has made us, what has brought us to the point of us being who we are. He cares about our paths and where our journey leads. He drew that map. And God has blessed me. He's blessed my family. I could talk a lot about all those blessings. There's so many through the years. But I want to talk specifically about a few times his blessings were so much more. They were my lifeline. And sometimes literally. God has been so very faithful to me through the years. He's seen me through. And he's protected me from times that took me to the brink. The brink being the edge of a cliff, the brink of a breakdown mentally, emotionally, physically. He has mercifully shielded me from the worst that could have happened in so many situations. He's protected me from my own decisions. And he's protected me from decisions made by others that were out of my control. I remember one instance years ago. I was standing in my bathroom, and I was looking in the mirror full of confusion and turmoil and anxiety. They swirled around me like a whirlwind. If you can just imagine standing in a tornado just in the midst of all that swirling around. I don't even remember what I said to God exactly. All I remember is the whirlwind started to slowly move downward until it was at my feet. And I literally, physically took a step sideways to step out of that mess. And oh, what sweet relief. Oh, how his presence was sweet and surrounded me. It completely replaced that whirlwind of mess that was just sucking the life from me. And another time when God moved in such a way was the year I moved to Chico with my two youngest kids. The two oldest were already out of the house, and circumstances demanded that I make the move. There wasn't much choice. But the uncertainty of the circumstances caused me to feel a lot of fear and a lot of doubt. And I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew I had to make this move. I had to do this. And I even voiced it. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just taking one step, putting one foot in front of the other, and I'm doing this thing. And looking back, it's plain to see that God had his hand all over this move. He was our saving grace. And the move, the orchestrating the move was our saving grace. It was his mercy, and it was his love for us. We arrived in Chico, a trio of ragamuffins, so tattered and beaten down. But God had plans, and we benefited greatly from his plans. A few years later, I was going through what was probably the hardest thing I'd ever experienced in my life. This situation was pushing me to the edge of that dangerous cliff. I knew if I slid over this cliff, I would have a complete mental, emotional, spiritual, and even a physical breakdown. That battle lasted that Thursday night until 3:30 a.m. Please forgive the personal reference here, but this is such a landmark in my life, this night. I cried. I wept from the depth of my soul. I walked the floor. I prayed. I tried to sleep but had to get up because everything was worse. When I turned off the light and it got dark and I closed my eyes, I was loud. I was very loud, and I half expected to hear a knock on the door. I remember distinctly what time it was that God came on the scene that night, or actually it was very early that next morning. And I turned on my computer as a distraction. I needed something normal to help me feel stable, to help me to hang on to something. That cliff was looming, and it scared me to death, but I felt powerless to stop the slide. I was sitting there, and I was still weeping. I was still crying out in my mind. I didn't feel like that I could pick the phone up and call anyone. It just seemed to be a battle that I had to go through that night. And I remember crying out, you know, God, if you do not help me this night, I am going to slip over that cliff into that abyss. And for certain, if you do not help me, this is what's going to happen. And I feared it greatly because I didn't know if I would ever be able to climb out of that darkness. It was looming. It was rising up to meet me. And as I sat there, all of a sudden, everything felt very still. And I felt something very warm and soothing start at the top of my head. And it moved all the way down to my feet. And it felt like it would feel if someone poured warm oil all over you. Just started at the top of your head, and it just covered you all the way to your feet. The peace and the calm. And it was instant. And a word exploded in my mind, and that word is resolved. And the nightmare had come to an end, and it was 3:30 a.m. I couldn't keep from laughing. I acted like I'd lost my mind, I'm sure. I turned off the computer and the lights, and I smiled, and I thanked God until I fell asleep. My alarm went off at 6:30 for work, and I felt rested. I felt happy. It was Friday morning, and I know my coworkers thought I'd lost grip on reality. I'm sure of it, but the happy just bubbled up. I got to experience another one of those special moments over Mother's Day weekend, and this one was one of those more gentle moments. I was at my Parker kids' home. I was alone. They were off doing their busy work. I was sitting outside, and I was watching the sun. and the last of it of its light slide behind the horizon. And I was sitting in a tall chair, so I was swinging in my seat. There was a fabulous breeze, just a gentle, like a summer. It wasn't really hot that weekend. It was just a nice breeze. My little dog was on my lap, and I was eating ice cream. And I had gospel instrumental music playing on my phone. And I just sat there swinging my feet. And as it got dark, I watched the lights across the canyon pop on. How do I describe that sweet rest and peace that swept over me? I sat there talking to God. It was such a gentle, quiet moment, feeling his presence. And I sat there grateful for the refreshing. It was over an hour. It was close to 2 hours. I was grateful for the strength, for the absence of fear and anxiety over the uncertainty of today. And my whole being needed to feel God's rest and his peace and to feel it is well with my soul. I need to revisit my move to SoCal. It'll be 2 years ago this July. I know without the slightest doubt that God had his hand all over this move. Starting from my conversation with my pastor at the time, my conversation with my boss at the time, receiving a call for an interview and finding out my CEO at that time and my new CEO knew each other, all in 4 days, along with being spared the heartache of losing everything in a fire. My kids worked hard to find just the right home, and once again, God showed he cares about what we care about. My home is everything that I need. What I know is that you can be in the will of God, but that does not mean everything will be easy. And oh, the changes my move brought. But I can always fall back on God. And I can always be confident I'm where I'm at because he directed my path. It's kind of like where we as a church are at right now with this COVID stuff and masks and distancing. And yeah, I hate it so much. For someone even slightly claustrophobic, masks are torture. And the separation from church and the separation from friends is so hard at times, and working from home is not at all easy. I feel isolated. I feel restricted, tied to the devices that I use for work, looking at four walls every day, all day, 5 days a week. It's been a trial for me for sure. I've been working from home since March 18th. But my attitude got a check. Because this last Thursday, I had to go to my work to sign enrollment papers for the new fiscal year, and I had to wear a mask. Everyone there had to wear a mask. All day, they're wearing masks. The staff has to wear a mask doing what they're doing, especially this busy time during enrollment. And I'm like, all I can say is, oh, dear Lord, thank you for letting me work from home. I'm sorry I complained so much. I'm thankful I'm in the comfort of my home. As small as it is, I'm without a mask. I have freedom of movement. I truly believe God once again worked on my behalf. I didn't know, and I couldn't know, but God knew. He always knows. So what I've had time to do is examine me, my life, my purpose, my reason for being here, and just what exactly is that? I know God hasn't brought me through all these years of situations and more. There's more that I obviously haven't talked about for no reason. When Brother Stephen Mantooth spoke the other evening, his words resonated through me, and a thought was born that I can't let go of. Imagine a straight line following the horizon, just straight. On and on. Not trending down, but not trending upward either. Just maintaining. The business world would graph a straight line as no growth, no change, no loss, no accomplishment, status quo. It's safe. It's fear-free. In the medical field, a straight line is called flatlining. No apparent life exists. And as I said, I've been working from home. Had to wear a mask to go out. Well, I avoided that. I mostly didn't even go to places that I could go. Errands maybe once a week. What God has let me see is the level of isolation, the level of hibernation, isn't much different than what I was already living. For this reason and for that reason, just observing, not really very involved. There's fear. It's too much. Fear says so. Hesitation, stepping back again and again. The more I consider all this, the more I ponder the term flatlining, the more I have to look back at all these moments that stand out, that God moved in special ways. And at times, it was a sovereign move, specifically for me at those moments. He's always had a plan, and I need to trust him. He wants me to be free of the fears that paralyze me from hearing him, especially now, especially today. And he has placed me in this place at this time, at even my age. And I want to read from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God tells me why I need to trust him and his ways and his plan. He brought me all this way through all these years with a plan just for me. I can say with confidence and conviction that God always has a plan for you and for me, and we can trust that plan fully. No, the path may not, and generally isn't, easy, but rest assured, it's the right one. And that's all I have, Brother Vic.
And it was powerful, Sister Janice. I just got to say, you know, before this call, Sister Janice was a little bit nervous, and Brother Vic, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Well, you all heard just how great she did. No nervousness at all. It was a powerful message. And for those of you who don't know, this is Sister Janice Underwood. She is Sister Elizabeth Jimenez's mom. And as far as I know, that I know of, she has two daughters that are married to some great men of God. Sister Elizabeth is married to Brother Adam Jimenez, who is part of our church, and her other daughter that she referenced is Sister Roman, who's married to Brother Roman in Parker, Arizona. So we are thankful for this great mother in God and this great grandmother in God that she is. Again, thank you, Sister Janice Underwood, for this powerful, powerful testimony. I know that it's going to help a lot of our people. And with that said, everyone, I want to introduce the next person. You know, we're trying to mix it up a little bit. We heard some great wisdom and experience from Sister Janice. And I got to say this again, church. We felt the anointing of God just as we started the hearing of Sister Carmen Hood at the outset of this devotion. And now we feel it, you know, threaded in Sister Janice's devotion testimony tonight. And I am excited to present to you Brother Jacob Roseberry. And just a few things I need to say. Yes, Brother Jacob helps us around the church with church repairs and church maintenance, and he's a great help. But what I really need to say is this young man is a very diligent young man. He's very detailed in all that he does. And one of the greatest things I can say about him is just that wonderful spirit and attitude that he has. I know that he is going to go far in the Lord. And with that said, Brother Jacob Roseberry, I am turning it over to you. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, Brother Vic.
All right, speak up loud and clear, sir. We want to hear from you tonight, Brother Jacob. Go ahead.
All right. Well, that was so great to hear from Sister Janice. I really appreciated that, and it was very powerful. And all the devotions that we've had so far, I'm really grateful to be able to hear those, even if when I was in school since last week and before that. I couldn't hear it in the morning, but to be able to, when I was out, to be able to play that afterwards, it's such a blessing. And if I start to lose my train of thought or anything a little bit during this whole thing, well, I can blame that on finals this week. I'm a little scatterbrained and brain fried at the moment, but I'll do my best. When Pastor mentioned this a couple Sundays ago about having the youth do the devotion, I tried to not make eye contact, but here we are. But I'm very honored to have been asked to do it and to be doing it tonight. So I know this is tonight's kind of a testimony is the theme, and that's the avenue I'll be going down. Not necessarily a testimony of a thing that happened, but more so of the testimony of, you know, just how the whole lockdown thing and how God has dealt with me during it. Even before the lockdown, one thing that God has been dealing with me for a long time, when I say a long time, I probably mean, you know, a couple years at this point, is to learn to let him to be in control. And I understand that in a macro, you know, in an overarching sense that, you know, God's in control of the future and I want to follow the path he's chosen. And we hear it in songs and in preaching, and I have every intent to do it. But sometimes when it comes right down to putting it into action, it kind of gets to the place of, well, okay, God, I know you're in control. So I'm praying that the way that I've planned to do things is going to work out. When it comes down to putting it into action, it's not as easy as just doing it sometimes. And during this whole lockdown and coronavirus and everything, I've been extremely blessed. You know, for me, as far as the main things that are going on in my life, not a lot was changed. As far as, you know, school was still going on virtually over the computer, so I still had assignments and homework, and my work was being done at home, so that was still happening. But really the way that it did affect me was in the change to my routines and environments. And like Brother Vic was saying, part of me being detailed is not just that I am diligent about being detailed, but it's that's the way that I know how to make things make sense for me, is to make them detailed and to have, you know, a lot of structure and order and plans. And everything I do, you know, from the planning out a school year to how I put my socks away, I've got to have a plan with it, and I've got to have some structure to it. And you know what? During this new way of doing things, you know, all the structure that to me seems so important, that all the things that I found a way to operate in and have my way of doing things, it's been totally changed up. And also, you know, the uncertainty. There's just so much uncertainty. Even if you try to trust the most trustworthy sources, first you get a 7%, you know, rate from this virus to a 0.3%. Wear masks. Don't wear masks. Stay inside. Get sunlight. Now they tell you can get it from your cat if your cat goes outside. And you know, and am I going to pass this on to my parents if I go to the store? And so for me, you know, everything is just, all of my structures and routines have been changed up. So all the ways that I figure out how to do things are different. And my immediate reaction is to start scrambling to find a new way of doing things and to shove some new order into that vacuum that's been opened up. But another effect of that, another thing that comes with that is not so readily apparent at first, is it kind of has the effect of, you know, when somebody's panning for gold, the way I would think of it, when you kind of swish the pan around, all that sand that you don't really care about goes out, but the truly important stuff settles to the bottom when that pan is agitated. And this has been really the perfect setting for God to begin to teach me to learn, lean on his way of doing things and to let him be in control and not lean on my own understanding. And I can remember You know, when I was 10 to 14 was the age range, I was in Brother Sanders' Sunday school class. And I remember one of the things I can remember him saying many times was he would talk to us about getting the mind of God and the heart of God. And he would tell us how he would ask God which freeway he was going to take. Now, my way of doing it is, if I'm going more than 2 miles away from my house, I'm going to check Google Maps to find the quickest way to get there. But that was how much Brother Sanders had learned to let the Lord direct his footsteps. And what can be more challenging sometimes is to do this not just on the macro level, but on the micro as well, right? You know, the fundamental, the spirit, and a few Bible verses that have been playing in my head during this time, or that I've looked up based on the ones that popped in my head. In Ezekiel it says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." In Romans it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "For this corruptible," meaning our flesh, "must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And one thing that I've, in trying to put on that spiritual mind and that spiritual heart, is when I've prayed, one thing that God has dealt with me to do is to just say, you know, every time I pray, "Lord, let me pray today the way that you want me to pray, the way that you're looking for, the way that you want me to pray today, right now." Because if I do it in my mind, I know I'm going to try to find a point A, detail, supporting thesis, you know, all the ways they teach you to do a speech in school. And it's on my own that I can't figure out how to let God be in control of how I pray. So I have to ask him to do that for me. And you know, during this time, like I said, God has been able to, he's really dealt with me about that more than before. Or maybe it's not that he's dealt with me more, but so much of the regular daily routines and everything has been stripped away that sorry, I'm getting lost in my own words. Let me move on to anyway.
You're doing fine, Jacob. You're doing good, Jacob.
You know what? I'm going to blame it on finals. That's what did it. One goal that I have that I have not been able to attain yet, that I haven't had the discipline really to attain yet, is a daily prayer life. But now having so many time opportunities, I guess you could say, where before I would have been driving or wandering around campus in between classes, so many of these times, you know, when I've used that as a time to just get away for a moment, you know, it's just been, God has been able to take me to a place in prayer of just letting him be in control, of just being in his presence. And it's like, it's like I can feel the stony heart being replaced and those works of the flesh being renewed by the fruits of the Spirit. And like others have said during these devotions, it feels like it's just been so much easier to get into the presence of God. And it's like there's something for us I have to say thank you again to all those who have been doing these devotions. And I can't tell you how many times I've been listening to these and just the presence of God that I begin to feel. And I know it's, others have talked about this as well, where it's, you know, it's just so good. And it's, it, it, I'm sorry.
Doing good, Jacob.
I guess it's just a wonderful thing. It feels so good. It really feels during those times and after having been in God's presence like that, like death loses its victory and you see the world with a new lens, and it brings to life the words of the old hymn that says, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait." And of course, with school still going on and work and at this point really not fully having a consistent prayer life, I'll begin to lean on my own understanding again. But we'll have a devotion or a church service, or just out of the blue, God will begin to pull on me again and take me back to that place of renewing. I think it was Sister Jeannie who talked about the stinky shirts. And that was such a good message to hear. It was a Sunday school message. And you know what? God is still teaching me to deal with my stinky shirts. So many times leading up to this, I thought about getting back to Brother Vic and telling him that I couldn't do it because I've been going over my notes I have written and new things, going over, and just I haven't gotten to a place where I feel like it's just right and I can wrap it up in a nice bow and say, you know, this is complete and I've thought everything through because I think that's just it's because it's truly something I'm still very much learning or really beginning to learn to do. And I know it's such a plain and simple concept, but I know that I'm not, you know, I don't have it all down pat nearly. I'm like I said, I'm just beginning to really get into that. And it's going to take a lot of consistent prayer life. And that's, and God is during this time, give me such a push toward being able to do that and help me so much along the way during this time of change. And you know what? I feel like God's been working on each and every one of us and the whole church to get us to a place to be ready for the great harvest that he has in store for us. And I'm very excited for it. And I'm excited for church tomorrow. I mean, that's all I have for tonight, Brother Vic.
And Jacob, it was great. It was great because it was anointed and you spoke from your heart. And church, once again, I just want to say what a blessing it is to hear these testimonies from various voices in our church. Everyone is different, but it is a powerful thing to see how we can all come together to form a beautiful tapestry, a beautiful mosaic for the Lord. And thank you, Brother Jacob, once again for reminding us of Elder Sanders' great words of wisdom. What a powerful thing. Church, we felt God's anointing throughout all these devotions. Why don't we just take this anointing that we feel right now? Why don't we just thank God for everything we've heard and ask the Lord to continue to lead us in the direction he wants to go in. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for these great testimony, for these personal things that Sister Janice has brought out to us, that Brother Jacob has brought out to us with the sincerity of their heart, Lord God. We're asking you, Lord God, to allow it to get deep into our spirits, into our hearts, into our minds, Lord God. Help us to think on these things, to meditate upon these things. We thank you for your anointing, your touch that we're feeling even now, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. And everyone said, Amen. And with that said, church, we want to remind everybody, tomorrow morning, Sunday service, 10 a.m., Sunday school, 11 a.m. morning worship. Again, the young people are invited to be at the church service tomorrow at 11 a.m. And we are going to be live streaming for everyone else. You can continue to see it at home just as you've been doing it in the last several weeks. So with that said, we want to tell everyone, God bless you. Have a great night. And we will be seeing you tomorrow on the live stream or at the service with the young people. Praise God. Amen.